This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Randy Feenstra. He represents the big 4th District of Iowa. Great to see you.
Great to be on with you today. Thanks for having me.
And when we talk about that great 4th District, what are we going to find in that district?
I tell you what, my district, we're number one in virtually a lot of agriculture commodity markets, from cattle to hogs, to corn, dairy, you name it. But biofuels is number one in the whole country. I have the biggest biofuel industry in the whole entire nation.
And you also throw a pretty good picnic party, don't you?
We have a great picnic, the Feenstra Family Picnic. We had Ambassador Nikki Haley there this past year, several weeks ago. It was a lot of fun, over 400 people. Serving, of course, pork burgers.
There you go. Now, you're a member of the House Ag Committee, and you've been here now long enough. We'll call you a native.
Sure.
Of the House Ag Committee. Yeah. When you think of your time on the committee so far, has it been a good learning experience?
It has been a really good learning atmosphere. There's a lot of things that maybe I would change. Obviously, I'm in the minority, so I would have a different thought process than people that are in the majority. But doing that, you also understand is, all right, what's important? And what are some of the things that we want to see done? And hopefully that will happen in the next several years. Hopefully I can get in the majority and be involved in some of the things that I believe producers in the agriculture arena needs to see.
Well, one thing that's affecting producers, doesn't matter where you go in the country, I know you've heard this from other members, rising input cost. Is that a concern?
This is such a big deal, especially in the 4th District of Iowa. You know, we have a lot of farmers, corn, soybeans, even cattle, hogs. So you have trucking, you know, diesel costs, DEF costs, and then you have your inputs, or your commodities, from the fertilizer to your grains, the seeds, to pesticides, insecticides, and things like that. And the concern right now is, all right, the farmers bought all these things 12 months ago for the fields to be planted and everything, and that's going to be good. But now we're worried about what's going to happen next spring, especially if you watch the commodity market right now with corn and soybeans really taking a hit in the last month. So that's a lot of grave concern right now, is where that commodity price is going to be compared to that input cost, and if those input costs continue to stay high.
We talk about input cost a lot, but you mentioned an industry that has been paying quite a bit for their input as well, and that's the biofuel industry. And again, a very good buyer of U.S. Corn and, yes, and grain products. But what are you watching right now on the biofuel, yeah, side?
Well, the biggest thing with biofuels is, in Iowa, every other corn row goes to ethanol. And so we want to see this continue to be built out, where we want to see E15 year round. We want to continue to grow the biodiesel market through soybeans and things like that. But again, we have problems. We have pinch points in the to get the product to market, and especially when it comes to railroad and trucking and stuff like that. The railroads, we only have a few of them, and we're trying to get the ethanol and biodiesel out to California and other places, and this is a real pinch point right now in the supply chain. So that's the biggest concern that we're having. We're looking to have great crops, so this will also help the ethanol and biodiesel industry, but there's a lot of regulations that we're always concerned about.
One area we've heard from some other members is their concern. You mentioned rail and just the transparency of moving product around makes me wonder if that, sticking with transparency, has that been something you've been watching on the livestock side?
Yeah, this is sort of big for Iowa and Nebraska, Minnesota area, is the transparency in the pricing, negotiated pricing from our producers to our packers. And we have a grave concern in our district, in our region, that we do a lot on cash contracts. Now, other parts of the country don't, but we do. And those cash contracts are really not very transparent. And that's why I created the Cattle Marketing Transparency Bill, to make sure that there was transparency in the negotiated contracts that are happening from our 4 big packers. And this is very important for our cattle and hog industry in Iowa, and hopefully we can resolve some of this as we move forward.
And what about on the other side of Capitol Hill, or is it picking up some steam there?
So the wonderful thing, it passed out of the Ag Committee in the U.S. Senate, and it plans to come to the floor. It sounds like it's got 60 or more votes. So we'll have to see how that plays out, and then it'll come to the House, and it's just a matter of what the House plans to do with it. Talking with leadership on the other side, they would like to move it, but we'll have to see how that moves forward in the next several months.
Some would say that House Ag Committee differences are very rarely partisan differences. They're regional differences. And we see some of that when we talk about the cattle industry. Yeah. But really, it tees up the farm bill, because we're headed for that. What do you see?
Yeah, exactly. So we got the farm bill, the 2023 farm bill is right around the corner, and we're already having talks. But it's very regional. I mean, for my district, when we talk about the protections of crop insurance for corn, soybeans, and stuff, and then you have milk, these are the dairy. I mean, these are very big things. But if you look at other parts of the country, you know, from almonds to cotton to tobacco, you name it, all the sugar, all these things are all part of that farm bill, and we're all going to be advocating for how we can better help our producers. And that's to me, will be an exciting time next year as we go through that process and try to create a good farm bill that will help all producers around the country and protect them and their investments.
Have you been able to learn something about maybe some other commodities, other regions from your neighbor members?
Absolutely, that's a great thing. That is the wonderful thing, is that, you know what, I've been to from Washington to California to Louisiana to Florida to see other agricultural inputs, other agricultural commodity products, and how passionate people are. Just like I'm passionate about cattle and corn and soybeans and things like that, you know, they might be passionate about oranges and almonds and things like, you know, other things. So it's really good for me, right? You need to have that full view of what the farm bill is going to encompass. And then you also have Title IX, the energy part. Not everybody looks at biofuels of ethanol and biodiesel, and that could be part of the farm bill. So it's a lot. It's really enjoyable to talk to others on the committee and work together and collaboratively and come up with a final bill, hopefully by next year at this time.
So good to see. I know time is a limited resource here in D.C., but thanks for taking it.
It's always great to be on with you. Thank you.
Again, it's the Honorable Randy Feenstra. He's a member of the House Ag Committee from Iowa on today's Agribusiness Report.